and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John O'Lobster. 20 years ago, American cinemas were rocked by one of the best overall years in movie history. Now, Legends Podcast is celebrating the legends of 99 all year long. So now we've done three in a row. So let's see what we have this week. Mike Judge ruled the 90s with his animated hits Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. For his first live-action project, Judge drew on his brief career at a Silicon Valley tech firm and his Milton animated shorts to create Office Space, a satire of white-collar workplace life. With an ensemble cast and a gangsta rap-infused soundtrack, Office Space spoke to Gen Xers who found themselves caught up in the dot-com boom of the late 90s. Though the film, saddled with an odd promotional campaign, they made a guy live in a box, wound up getting downsized at the box office. Like so many other films of that year, Office Space lived on as a cult classic after repeated airings on Comedy Central and became one of Fox's top-selling DVDs. But 20 years later, does the film with the tagline, "Work sucks, still work," or does it suck? Yeah, I'm going to need you to go ahead and record this podcast a week late. Thanks.
Yeah.
So we are coming at you a week delayed. We decided to do a week's hiatus. I had the flu. Wing had electrical malfunctions.
Yeah, the moment we were supposed to record, like maybe 2 hours early, I was like sending picture of the update
of the grid.
Yeah, and it was like, yeah, it's not looking good. Damn it.
Yeah, I had to go get drunk for a friend's birthday. You know, whatever.
Beef wanted to wait, and we all decided that we care enough about this movie. We think it's important enough that we all wanted to be here to talk about it. So, Office Space, if you've been reading sort of the normal entertainment sites, there are all kinds of retrospectives this week about Office Space, given that we are spot on the, or at least if we had recorded when we were supposed to, we would have been the day it came out 20 years ago. But
people love this movie.
People like this movie, and this was not a movie that was liked when it came out. It was not popular with critics. It was not something that people went to see. It came in at like 8th at the box office, I think. And it disappeared pretty quickly until Comedy Central and DVD rentals. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen this movie. I've seen the VHS box, the DVD box, the Blu-ray box. I've heard about it. Everybody talked about it. But as I know myself, why would I go to an American comedy? You know?
Well, and so, it wouldn't have played ad nauseum on a cable channel in your market, right?
No.
Like this wouldn't have been something. I don't know if there's a Le Comedy Central. Central? I don't know.
There's not a Le Comedy Central, but there's something equivalent of kind of channel that would air these kind of movies. But again, they live and die by their dub. Not
right.
By their original mm-hmm. voice. That's why often when we watch comedy, I'm like, oh, I love that one, but I've never seen it in English. This one I've just never bothered to see because by the time it was cult and I heard about it, it was already something I would have watched in English. So I was like, well, whatever. The thing is that between 2000 and now, I worked in an office for a number of years.
So you have lived the life of Office Space, and it is squarely aimed at
cubicle workers,
cubicle dronery.
And you can't, I mean, they do, granted, they go super satirical and over the top and everything, but they do get the finger on the pulse of what it is to work in a cube farm.
Yeah,
but that's where the movie surprised me, because I was expecting these over the top comedy,
right?
Which it gets a little bit there, but it refrain to get too much, because as soon as the guy get hypnotized, I was like, here we go. And no,
he's mellow and he's just more not giving a fuck. You have the one guy that's really over the top is the O face guy, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I mean, this is,
we'll,
I think,
we'll file him under local talent, because they filmed the movie in Texas, basically on location, I think in Austin and Dallas, and he was like the one Texas guy they got to be in it.
Your meeting was already in the building, and it was,
yeah, he was there, and they're
stable.
Like, oh, this guy looks all right.
They just filmed this every day.
Yep.
Like, they made me move my desk. Yeah, because we're filming a movie. Dumb fuck.
The jump to conclusions.
Of course.
So great.
But to go back to what I think this movie is trying to say, is it's about the sort of mundane details. This is not a mundane detail. But this it really lives in these sort of moments where, like, we've all been at the office birthday party and had to pass the cake, and we didn't end up getting a piece. We've all, you know, had the annoying...
Because you guys are not good enough at this shit.
We've all had the annoying office neighbor who, you know, just says the same thing over and over again on the phone, or wants to listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
All that, a change in procedure, yep, that makes absolute no sense. Like, now there's cover sheets on the TPS reports, or any of the cliche things that they point out. And it just, it hurts your soul because it's so true. But oh, they try to get comedy.
You know, the worst is when I realized that I was the guy who wanted to listen to radio at a reasonable volume. I was like, fuck!
And we've all worked for the boss whose management style is passive aggressive, and that's all they know. That's like the only thing in their vocabulary is, I may be
part of that. I'm just saying, I could probably most likely be lumped into the I need you to do a little more today. Could you for me?
Is it that, or is it the I'm gonna, you know, be your buddy and slap you on the back, which I find more annoying, but...
No, I'm usually the quiet, brooding boss, to be honest. I'm like, all right, let's get this shit done. And then I help them work, though. I don't just yell. But it's so...
Until you break your ankle.
Yeah, but if you help me, I already like you better.
Lumberg, you know? Yeah, but I don't have that in my climate of work. It's just Lumberg, all these people are characters. The neighbor that lives
Lawrence, and can hear you. Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, I mean, the blue-collar worker, Lawrence, is kind of like the antithesis. And I love that they make, like, they make you think that Lawrence is a complete scumbag. And he kind of is. But at the same time, he's like, if you said to somebody, looks like you've got a case of the Mondays, you would get your ass whooped.
Punched in the face
that
or whatever.
That would not fly. Like, and that's, like, the real talk of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Don't you have a case of the Mondays on a regular basis? I mean,
we all have a case of the Mondays.
But you don't have to say it. I mean, you just be like, oh, it's a shitty Monday. Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
You guys don't work in the kind of office environment that I work in. God, people revel in the idea of, like, it's Monday, I can look like shit.
That's fine. I don't mind if people look like shit. Just still do your fucking job, because I do when I look like shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like when people say, I think they pointed out too in the movie, like, they're very chipper, you know, like, it looks like somebody's got a case of the Mondays. Like, like they're happy about the other person's in pain. I don't know.
And this movie, and kind of in a weird way, Fight Club, are both this... sort of like, you are not your
images.
You are not your car keys, you are not your wallet, you're not your
khakis,
your khakis, yes, thank you. Yep. Your Dockers. And they're kind of like, do you want to be defined by your job, by your career? And I think that is kind of what this movie is getting at, which is there's this guy, Peter, who feels like a cog in a machine, and, you know, he's never been what we'll say is self-actualized, but, you know, he's never been able to pinpoint why he feels like shit all the time until he realizes that it's the job. Like, it's because of his job.
You know, Bob, I'd say I do about 15 minutes of work in any given week.
Real, actual work.
So, I mean, that actually work in a...
Yeah. You stare at the computer. It looks like I'm working.
Right. I go get coffee. I go play on my phone.
Space out for a while.
I got to pee a little bit more. I have an employee, and he may hear this, so busting you out on the air. Every day, at least 4 days a week, he goes and he hides in the bathroom from 4:15 or 4:30 till 5. And then he comes out and he punches out and he leaves.
Yes.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Do you know how much time you pay him to shit by the end of the year?
He's just playing on his phone. He's just playing on his phone. I'm sure he shits other times in the day. Mm-hmm. That's just that I don't want to do the last part of the day's work.
If you take 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week for 48 weeks a year, including if you exclude your vacation, you've been paid 6.5 days to take a dump.
Which is fine, because we all have to dump. Take a dump. And sometimes you have to dump. You got to dump every day at work. That's fine. But like when you
getting paid to poop,
when you do like this, I don't know, malicious and trying to get one over on people. I get it. When I was in a cube farm.
Don't be so blatant. Don't be so blatant.
Yeah.
When I used to own a video store, I used to say that certain employee was working really, were working really hard at not working at all.
Yes, because you have to work really hard to do nothing.
Yes. Yeah.
You really, I would, when I was in the cube farm, I would call places up and I'd be on hold, or I'd have to wait on hold till I got through the, you know, phone tree or whatever. So I would, from the night before, because, you know, went out, this is early 20s, so I'm nice and hungover, and I'd be sleeping on hold, and then they'd be like, hello, so-and-so financial firm, and be like, huh, hi, this is so and this is Beef from such-and-such a company. Like, I had the spiel down. So I would sleep on the job, but I would do it while on hold.
That's totally competent. You probably got great employee reviews.
I did my job for a few years there.
Yeah.
Ugh, I don't know. Milton, you bastard. So he wasn't getting paid for 2 years? He was he was fired, but he was getting paid.
He was fired. He was still drawing a paycheck and just kept coming to work. Because Milton is kind of the other thing where your job defines you. And so Milton, like, he would... He was a great worker. He would come to work every day. He would do his work as long as he could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume from the hours of 9 to 11. You know, he was probably his best. He was probably his most productive.
I kind of got that it was a thing, though. Like, he needed a regiment, or he needed that helped him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I mean,
yes, thank you.
If you look at his behavior, he was probably the best, his best self when he could see the squirrels and they were merry, when he was over by the window. And then when you started to kind of take away his dignity or his stapler, that's when his psychosis reared its ugly head. And he said, I could set the building on fire. And that's Milton, I think.
I could have this whole resort condemned, you know.
I think Milton is someone you don't want as an enemy. I think there's a reason that Peter tries to at least stay on Milton's good side when they're office neighbors, because he knows that Milton should not be trifled with.
He's a psychopath. Just waiting to erupt. Come on.
But when he's happy, he's soft-spoken. As long as he gets his cake, he's okay.
But he's at a point where he's chasing... cockroach in the
That's not my job description.
No shit.
when Peter just took the screw gun and undid his cubicle, so he had like a window corner now.
It was great.
Because you all wanted, you wanted to do that, or you wanted to move your chair so you could see something other than blue or gray felt.
They've kind of gotten rid of cubicles in a lot of offices, I think, for that reason. There's a building that I go to sometimes, and usually I'm in an office that's on like the 6th or 7th floor, and it's got these amazing views of the Delaware River and like the city skyline, but everyone's in these cubicles, so they don't really see it. And then you kind of walk a little bit, and someone has the end cubicle with no wall between them and the window, and you're like, man, if everyone could have this view... It would just mean no cubicles.
Dude, the two office where I work, my primary office, what they did is that they bought a corner building and they built all of our cubicle, quote unquote, in an L on the corner. So everybody has the window.
That's a nice thing to do.
My part-time office has a open area. So on the corner as well. So even if you're working, well, there's another guy over there, which is a decent space, but you see him work and everybody has access to the actual light and the windows, and the actual boss have the office with no windows.
Mm-hmm.
But they have widescreen TVs, but okay.
That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, creating a good working environment is, you know, never a bad thing.
It's good for your employees' sanity, and I think it goes a long way to making people happy. And I think that, you know, our jobs don't have to make us the happiest, but because I think the moral of this movie is, you know, everyone hates their job a little bit. It's just something that you suck up because you're a grown up and you go and do.
Right.
But at the same time, there's something to be said for liking, if not loving, what you do, or at least at least liking things about your job.
Yeah, but there's always going to be that one boss or that one person or that one rule, like
the
pieces
absolutely.
Of flair thing, right?
Yes.
Well, this is what you guys have to do. This is the minimum, and then you do it, and they're like, "Well, why don't why?
Well, you're doing the minimum?"
Right. Exactly.
Yes. Wait a second. Are you paying me minimum wage? Oh, I'm a server. I'm probably making less than minimum wage because you're factoring in tips. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I did that in one of my review at some point where they were like, okay, well, you know, compared to the average, I was like, okay, you set an average, I'm over it. I don't care about what everybody else did. Set the bar higher if you want me to get to it. If not, I don't care. But yeah, the small ways in there that they're trying to show that this could change is all the kind of office politics. Let's say you have like a share plan, or not a
right,
share plan.
Right, a profit share, a stock option, yeah.
That's all cute, but when you're in your fucking cubicle, you're not thinking about your option bullshit.
Yeah, if I had a window or if I could keep my stapler, I'd probably be just as happy.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Even if you're doing all that, you know there's probably someone else that's dragging their ping pong, and you're like, can't we all just work at the same pace?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree with that. But there's always somebody that's trying to work too fast.
That's
I'm just trying to keep up.
So the thing that I kind of love that happens in this movie is they bring in the Bobs to be the consultants to decide where they need to kind of thin everyone out. And they immediately go for like the most productive people at the company. So you have
Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton and Michael Bolton. Samir Nadjinajar.
Wait, what?
Right?
Nadjinajar. It's easy.
Nadjinajar. It's easy. Come on.
Is it really?
Yes. I got that joke in 1990, and today I was like, this is not the worst I have to work with on a regular basis. That's not that bad. And when I say the worst, it's not that, it's just different. What you're not used, and what we say here is like, if it's not Villeneuve ou Tremblay, oh, it's complicated. And you guys are like, Denis Villeneuve.
Yep. We're terrible. We have no ear
so it's
for it.
The same idea there, but. Yeah,
so you've got some of the most the most talented workers. You also have the gentleman who has the people skills, who's good at dealing with people. I'm a people person. What the hell is wrong with you?
People person, damn it!
Yeah, he drops a solid damn it right there.
Yeah,
it's funny because my Shark Taco is watching this like while she works, and she's like, yeah, I work with engineer. You need somebody to translate.
You need someone in the middle.
Yeah, what
can't
is it?
Be the fax machine.
What is it exactly you say you do? I mean, well, I hand them the paper.
What is it you say you do here? So, but I love that this is, you know, you have this discussion of, you know, what is the value of work? How does your work satisfy you? Kind of set against the backdrop of this existential, like, is what you're doing good for the company? You know, is it, you know, kind of explain your worth in terms that two outside consultants will understand. And I think the best moment is when Obviously, they take to Peter because he's a real straight shooter. And then
they want to make management.
Yeah, they're sitting down with Lumberg. And they're like, you know, he's got upper management written all over him. Ooh. And then you have Dr. Cox is about ready to explode here. And the other Bob's like, hold on, Bob, I'll take this one.
Oh. That's my favorite bit because, you know, it's funny because it's true. I've had an interview like this where I'm like, I don't want this job. And you walk in and you're like, listen.
They're like, oh, wow.
Listen, all these people over there, they're all in their suit. They all have the same education. They're probably all more qualified than me. But they're all afraid of you. So what are you going to do? And then you get the job and you're like, what?
Yep.
What the fuck? Oh, damn it.
People like honesty and people can smell bullshit. So... if you go in honest, no bullshit, that tends to work.
That fucked me over.
Were you too honest or too bullshitty?
Too honest, and I'm pretty loud and an idiot at work, so I'm like, what the fuck, why aren't we doing this? And then we'll get it done, and then I apologize to everybody. But still, you know, it's what the fuck.
Well, I think that's one thing, but... you know, when you're trying to impress your higher ups.
But he knew who I was when he offered me the assistant manager job. I worked there for 9 years before that.
When I do that in a corporate environment, sometimes it's weird. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it's weird.
I wish I wouldn't have said yes, though. Then I could just be like an idiot order picker or driver and listening to podcasts again.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having to answer the phone and, you know, whatever.
Having responsibilities.
Right, having to herd cats.
Wow. Talking to people, replacing people not coming in the morning.
And then you're like, I remember when I was a cat.
Right? I remember when I could just call in and not worry about it.
Yeah, so I called you. Yeah, we're kind of... yeah, call me back. Beep. I was away from the phone.
Yeah,
for
did
a
you
minute.
Call?
So did you call?
Just want to make sure. So speaking of that, and I guess kind of Lumberg has his own thing, but
cleaning the fish at his desk.
That was amazing.
Sorry, I just thought of the TBS reports. Go on, Lumberg.
Are there bits in this movie that work with you? Because this work for you? Because this movie is really a collection of skits as well. There are kind of little vignettes, little bits throughout the movie. Some that come up again, some that you don't really go back to after like the halfway mark. Is there like stuff that works for you? Stuff that doesn't work?
That's the part where I'm going to be harsh, because I said I didn't really like this movie when we started, and as you can see, I'm kind of positive about everything.
Yeah, good.
The thing is that this, an hour and 20 minutes, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
That's fairly short.
Yep.
There's not really any overarch, because they never resolve the hypnosis thing. That's not really...
it just kind of it wears off once he realizes he cares about other people.
Yeah, it's
besides
just a
himself.
Yeah. That's it.
There are a lot of dream sequences as well. That's one thing that I noticed on a rewatch. I was like, man, he spends a lot of time dreaming about things.
That's true. But as much as I'm having fun in all of the joke in a very Monty Python kind of way, and that's what I'm appreciating. Yeah. I'm not laughing like, ha ha, but I'm like, it's funny because it's true. And the more you work in this kind of environment, you see that nothing has changed since 1991, probably, when that was written. But as a movie, this has no structure. This is not well acted. There is no character arc more than like, okay, he's going to learn to let go. Okay. That the old character arc is about that. They recycle a plot from another movie, and they're very upfront about it.
Yep.
This is basically three episodes of a TV show that we have here that is called Coffee Camera, where there is a camera and a coffee machine.
It's called The Office, and it ran for like a bunch of seasons. Well, it ran for two seasons in the UK and then for like a bunch over here.
And I love the UK version of that and kind of like the American version. And I totally agree. This is something that can work, and probably nobody had done it before. I don't know. But that's where this thing fails, is that as a TV pilot, this is amazing. as a movie, this fails on most different.
Yeah, it's not going to win.
It's not a movie.
It's not going to win any Oscars because it doesn't have all the bars of all that. But it is for a background something to have on. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's not.
I would argue the reason it was so successful on cable television, where it's chopped up by commercials, is it doesn't really matter the order that you watch the movie in. The jokes are still funny, even out of context of the plot, because there really isn't a plot to speak of.
Yeah, that's a perfect cable movie. Like, yeah. I'm brooming the room, and I'm watching that in the background, and I'm just catching the two bubs. That's amazing.
And I think it works well as like the movie that you put on when everyone is hanging out and drinking or whatever, because, again, you don't really have to pay attention to the plot. It doesn't matter.
It's all about the character moments.
You could put Flash Gordon on too, but Flash Gordon doesn't have a red stapler.
Or Jennifer Aniston.
Or, to be fair, TV actress Jennifer Aniston. So... That's who she is at this point. She's basically playing Rachel.
Yeah, and isn't this like at the height of Friends too?
Or? Yeah, it's right around there. Yep.
It's at the start of Friends, I would say. And it's basically a plot that's there just to make sure they have a girl.
No, Friends was like 94 to 2004.
Yeah, Friends was September 22nd, 94. This was released in 99.
Yeah, so she was up there. But this is also...
This is a 1991 movie.
This is 99. This is, remember, Legends of 99, 20 years ago. It's a thing we're doing.
I hadn't forgot that yet.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad somebody's still paying attention. But this is like, no one in this movie is anyone that you've heard of, except for Jennifer Aniston, and she's really not a main character. But it's... I think that's kind of wonderful about it. And this movie, I kind of fell in love with Ron Livingston in like a guy crush way, because he's just so perfect in that role. And then he went on and did stuff like Band of Brothers he had a TV series or something. And then there's this show on right now where it's all about him. He jumped off a building, and the show is all about people who miss Ron Livingston. And I was like, that's like a great show. I would, you know, I'd be on that show. But like just him kind of being kind of fresh faced as that character. Stephen Root to this day, anytime I see Stephen Root in something, I'm like, it's Milton. Come on. This is amazing. And Gary Cole, you know, anytime I see Gary Cole.
Oh, yeah, Bill. Yeah,
he's not he and the other roles he does are not Lumberg, but it's just like you just have that gut reaction to that's who this guy is. And I think for me, those actors will forever be associated. I can even see Diedrich Bader in something and be like, oh my God, that's Lawrence. Like and the other stuff he does is way different, but he doesn't have the mustache and the hair. So
not all of us can.
No. But again, like I just come back to this movie as something that was just great. Like it just hit in its time, and I remember it. And I listened to the Geto Boys because of this movie. Like that's like the white and nerdiest reason to listen to gangster rap, because you know it was the printer scene and stuff. And damn, it feels good to be a gangster. But like. It just does it, man.
Well, we didn't talk about the printer scenes because...
Well, I wanted to say. Like, there's iconic...
Out of paper.
There's iconic moments in this movie that...
Wait, again, you say that this movie is good to just in and out. Again, Shark Tacko is working. Basically, she's working at home, so sometimes I'm watching the movie and, you know, she's just typing at the computer. And she goes out, comes back with a glass of water, and she's looking at them destroying the printer, and she's just like, I want to do that once a week, and just move on. And I'm like, oh, this is where the genius of this movie is.
Absolutely, yeah.
Somebody passed by and like, Yeah.
Yep. It is. There's a lot of wish fulfillment in this movie, in a way, because it kind of takes all of these urges that you've had, you know, whether it's to fuck over your boss or, you know,
screw over the company,
screw over the company and get away with it, or you know, gut a fish at your desk, or you know, just, you know, anything, beat up an annoying piece of office equipment, like. It's all stuff that we've fantasized about in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it is not a high piece of film or art, but it is a nice shotgun blast of all of these things that we would love to do or know our friends would love to do, things that have pissed us off, all that shit. It is, yeah, it's not great, but damn, it is 1999 or 2000, 2001, whenever you started watching it.
And I think for what it's worth, the late 90s were riddled with some really stupid comedies that never really functioned on any level. And, you know, this was kind of in the middle of your gross-out comedies, your American Pies, and your Farrelly Brothers-type movies. And this was the, you know, I feel like we were ramping up to, you know, the really gross stuff, the Scary movies and all of that.
God, and you're saying that, and I remember working on a TV show, which was our version of The Office in Quebec, but with the woman working for a skanky magazine.
Okay, good. God.
That wasn't the zeitgeist at that point. Huh?
Uh-huh. But I feel like this movie sits at just the perfect level of, there's some stupid stuff, but there, like, the more of the humor is from, like, the surreal and the like, we've all been there sort of thing, as opposed to, you know, just, I'm going to show her my O face.
But they had to slip a couple of those in, clearly.
But they did, and they all kind of look at him like,
what the fuck,
this
dude?
This guy's an idiot.
This guy's a douche. You
know, yeah. But, you know, Lawrence, I think, says it best, two chicks at the same time. Well, you know, not everybody cares about money. Well, the kind of chicks that would double up on me
would.
The man is so self-aware.
He's so right.
Self-aware is perfect. Hey, Peter, turn
check
on
out
channel
the chick
15.
On channel 9.
Or channel 9.
So this thing is just between us. Yes. And my roommate.
And me. I won't tell anybody.
And what, but he's cool. He's cool.
He's cool.
What was the one with the guy coming up? Oh, I worked at Inatrode. Selling magazines.
Orlando Jones, which is kind of, he had a breakout.
Isn't that Make 7-Up yours?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Nice. He had some breakout stuff in the 90s, late 90s, and this was a early role for him. But that's, yeah.
All right, so we rate this puppy?
I can't wait.
Wing, are you ready to jump to conclusions on Office Space? Are you going legendary?
God, no. Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Legend of its time.
37 pieces of flair.
Cult legend.
They did it in Superman 3.
Awesome.
Just pass.
Entertaining.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Mayable.
No talent, ass clowns.
Forgettable.
Not gonna watch this anymore.
Abysmal.
99 problems.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of big grains of salt on the glass. Big grains of salt.
Oh, good. I'm going to give this an entertaining. And I love the quote you'd say. I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob. I haven't been missing this movie. People are talking about this movie like it's the best thing since sliced bread. Well, you know, bread was there before it was sliced, and it was pretty good. And this
thing... French, like, invented it, right?
Probably. I don't know. I'm not French. So
I think the Egyptians had bread, but whatever.
Whatever. The point is this a good movie? Well, no, not really. Is it an entertaining movie? Yeah. Is it just short enough? Yeah. At the moment where it was like, yeah, this is getting boring, things get on fire, and I'm like, oh, this is over. So that was kind of perfect. So that was a good watch. The thing that works super well in what they have is that office culture hasn't changed, and it's still the same bullshit. So when you're watching this, if you work in an office culture, you're going to probably get the same reference even if you don't need a fax anymore. And if you're in an office culture, you still need a fax. So you will understand even more. So I'm giving this a solid entertaining. Middle of the road, this is fun. You want to have a good afternoon, you know, wrapping gift, I don't know. Yeah, sure. Watch that while you do that. Rolling coins. It's perfect. Beef?
All right. I think it's because you don't watch the shit at the same time that we do, so you don't have, like, the age and the touchstone. The nostalgia. All that shit. Because, I mean, this is... If you're apparently an American and you have know anything about office culture, this is probably going to be right up around cult legend. I mean, this is like... Now walk with me here. It's a bit of a journey. But this is like The Matrix to me, or High Fidelity, uh-huh. or something that came out that was like one of the first handful of DVDs that I know that everybody had, and they just let everyone else borrow them. I'm not saying it compares to all those movies, but this is definitely a cult legend in my book. I don't go back and rewatch it often because it is just... office humor. It is just the drama with your bosses and your idiot friends. So I get that in real life. But when I do revisit this, I do laugh and I do have a really freaking good time. It's not going for Oscars. It's just going for dumb, maybe vignettes. Is that the right word?
Yeah, but you know, Beef, in the same idea, you made me watch a restaurant movie with Ryan Reynolds, which I would
kind of in the same category.
True.
Yeah, and I like that better.
That was also a movie. Yes,
you know?
That was like 10 years later though too. This is, you got to remember, the guy who wrote this was Mike Judge, who did what else, Lobster, what cartoons, King of the Hill and Beavis and Butthead.
All shit that I didn't like.
Yeah, but
fair enough.
But I'm saying for the attention span part of it, those never had more than a 10 or 15 minute story. So the other one, the restaurant one was more of an actual movie. You're correct. But this, again, not a big movie, but I'm going cult legend because it was traded and smuggled around like nudie magazines. Yeah. Lobster?
Fun fact, Mike Judge plays the restaurant manager Stan at Tchotchke's.
Really?
Yep, that's him. Okay, so I'm going to say it once. I've probably said it before. But damn, it feels good to be a gangster. I'm going there. I'm going legendary for Office Space. I can defend this until the day I die. But when I think about movies that have had an impact on me personally, movies that have affected my outlook and worldview for better or worse, I think this is one of them. I think this is one of the movies that if I was going to say... take on a desert island with me, or, you know, be buried with or something. Office Space is probably one of them because it for me encapsulates, one, this is 1999. Like, this is a movie about the Y2K bug, fax machines, you know, not having Facebook to, like, double check who your girlfriend's ex was to make sure it's not your unholy pig of a boss.
Your skeevy boss.
It's about the dot-com bubble about to burst. And it's just so... It's everything. It's everything that was tied in there. I was not a fan of Beavis and Butthead. I'm not a fan of King of the Hill. I didn't really care who Mike Judge was, that he was directing this. But I just love the idea of this movie, a work sucks movie. I felt like we were kind of ready for that. And I kind of like chased the high of Office Space after. And I was like, come on, like this is going to be the thing. We're going to have a really great workplace sitcom in the next 5 years after Office Space came out. I'm like, somebody's going to see that this is a brilliant pilot for a TV show, and they're going to do like the next Murphy Brown with it or Cheers or whatever. And they didn't. We just kind of sat there for like years and years until The Office came out of the UK by Ricky Gervais. And it seems like they finally like got back to that idea of, oh yeah, people like, this is relatable. This is something that you can actually script a long-running TV show on. And I really trace that idea back to this film. And it's a modern day classic. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. It's a modern day classic. It's not a great movie in the terms that we're gonna talk about, like the Oscars, but it's a movie that is so fundamentally relatable that even if you watch it and you don't think the jokes are that funny, or even if you don't think that there's really any plot, because there really isn't, you're still, on some gut level, you're going to identify with at least one character in the movie, even if you work in accounts receivable just a moment. Like, you're that person, right? So I
get zapped by the door every day.
Whatever it is, man, we have all dealt with those little indignities that sometimes that seems like it's all that matters. So Office Space, I'm giving it our highest rating, tipping the scale a little bit, but it is legendary, and damn, it feels good to say it.
All right. Yeah, wow, that's a nice shotgun blast for all over the board. Let's go last word on Office Space.
Fire.
Got nothing.
Okay. I like if you watch through the
flare.
Flare. Okay. I like that if you watch through the end credits, there's a couple bits of dialogue, and Jennifer Aniston goes, "You know, I'm working over at the Hooters now, and yeah, it's pretty nice." But I'm going to go with a Lawrence-ism and tell you both, watch out for your cornhole.
Okay, what time is it, Beef?
News time.
Thank you.
It's a game. All right. It's a game you throw beanbags into holes with corn painted on them.
Cornhole? You haven't played cornhole?
Doesn't mean the same thing here.
It means
the same thing here as well, Wing. But
it's a very competitive game, so you tell someone, like, yo, like, watch out for your cornhole.
Yeah, I'm going to plunder your cornhole.
Right, you don't want someone to...
You don't say that one.
You know, to reach around, so to speak, and steal
your cornhole.
A point from your cornhole.
I'm going to share a picture of a Google search of cornhole with you, Wing, here in the news section. So good luck with
Google
that.
Image search, cornhole.
Here you go, Wing. I got you faded. All right. How's the box office here, Lobster?
And don't mix it up with Butthead. Or no, Beavis, sorry. Don't mix it up with Beavis, because he is the great cornholio.
Yeah, fire, fire. TP for my bunghole.
And he requires TP for his bunghole.
Right.
I just wanted to make that clear. It's his bunghole. Okay, thank you. Jesus.
All right. Call that fling the pockets.
Fling the pockets?
Whoa,
this is a family podcast, okay? We're not playing the pockets,
or flinging
friend.
The bunghole either.
Oh,
Jesus.
Whoa, okay.
Well, actually, and I'm saying pockets, I'm kind of nice, because I would try to translate more as ball bags, because you put small balls in these.
They're bean bags, but
yes.
That's why it's called cornhole, because you could fill the bags with corn and then throw the corn in the hole.
I think in England they call it tossing the bullocks, but that's another.
All right. Come on. How was the box office?
The box office was the lowest President's Day weekend in 15 years.
Oh, well, wait. We should say Lego Movie came out last week and didn't do very well, or it did okay and then disappeared.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're like a week off, so we'll talk more about the box office, but Alita Battle Angel actually overperformed on expectations and came in at number one, but only with 28 million.
Yeah, but it's killing it internationally.
It is doing very well. It's doing very well overseas. The movie cost something like $170 million to make, so it really needs to do well overseas, but this could be one of the ones that's saved by global markets.
Oh, yeah. It's already
at, I think it was marketed at global markets. At, I don't think they were expecting a lot of money from here. Have you seen a lot of marquees outside and a lot of publicities?
No.
It's 203 million.
No, I think they decided
million.
not to spend here on it.
No, they haven't spent here. They spend all everywhere but here. We're, and you know, a couple of years ago, I was asking, what's the difference between the money from here and the money from overseas? Studios are getting this now.
Yeah.
And some movies are just not supposed to perform in an American market anymore, and this is not.
I will say that, so we're talking about, like, Office Space has its 20th anniversary this past weekend, and, like, a lot of think pieces are coming out. I'm already starting to see Avatar for the 10-year anniversary, and people are, like, directly tying it to, Battle Angel Alita, produced by James Cameron, and... You know, we're talking about this groundbreaking movie, so go see Battle Angel Alita.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to see it for next week.
Yes, we are going to talk about it next week, so we will have all seen it by then, I guess. Okay, so one thing that happened as we were getting ready to record is the Oscars happened. One thing that happened as we were not recording last week is the Oscars decided that they are in fact going to show all the four categories that they were going to cut for time. So people protested and then that happened and the Academy said, oh, on second thought, we'll go ahead and show those anyway.
The Oscars were pretty long, but it was pretty entertaining. So who cares?
Yeah, the ratings actually went up this year, which after all of the sort of controversy leading up to the Academy Awards, I think people were just curious to see if they would be a train wreck or not. And
people
by and large,
for a train wreck. Come on.
By and large, they weren't, aside from a couple little things that we'll probably talk about. But solid show, I guess, right?
I liked it. That was a fun show. Well, it was okay. A pretty fun show.
Beef, any thoughts on the Oscars?
I didn't watch it.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so some winners that we should highlight. Black Panther became the first MCU Oscar winner. Woo-hoo. It picked up 3. And Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse did win Best Animated Film. So overall...
Which is out on video on demand right now. Go buy it or it comes out March 19th.
Yes, I definitely want to own that one. Yeah. So the overall winner for Best Picture was Green Book. That was seen as a bit of a stumble, given some drama behind the scenes. But I think that also it kind of had the momentum with some earlier awards that it had picked up, so it didn't seem like an upset, really. It wasn't an upset. People were just upset.
That's what I had on my card, so I was not surprised.
Right.
I know everybody thought that it would be Roma, but that's the one that got me is the director. But hey,
Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for him.
Seems like he make a movie, it equals an Oscar at this point.
That's good.
Some categories.
It's not a bad thing to have. Okay, so...
Seriously, he made like what? How many movies? He won one for Beautiful, one for Birdman, one for Revenant, one for this?
Yep.
Did Bale win anything for Vice?
No.
Freddie Mercury won for Bohemian Rhapsody, Rami Malek. And Olivia Colman won for Yorgos Lanthimos, The Favorite.
What's Green Book about again? Someone told me.
So Green Book, based on a true story of an African-American musician who is driven through the South by a white driver. So it's Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali.
Oh, nice.
And Mahershala Ali did win Best Supporting Actor that role.
I have one episode left in his... 8 or 9
True,
pack.
True Detective.
Yeah, it's as of this point, it's fucking amazing. He is, gangsta.
Well, he's amazing in this movie.
He's a very good actor.
Yeah, he is. It's crazy how good he is.
Yeah, okay. I'd seen this and Roma. I haven't seen Black Klansman. A lot of people tell me it's amazing, but I'm not ready for it. You need to be ready for these kind of
and
movies.
And Spike Lee won his first Oscar for the screenplay.
Screenplay.
Yep.
His speech was special and fun.
All right, so switching gears a little bit to Land of Television, the axe finally fell for The Punisher and Jessica Jones. They are now officially canceled by Netflix, even though Jessica Jones' third season has not been released yet.
But at this point, we all knew, so they might as well tell us, our Marvel stuff is over. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Have a great day.
Enjoy your last season of this and that. And
but, hey, at least we get it, though, right? I mean, here's your consolation prize.
I did just wrap up season two of The Punisher.
I have not yet.
It's good.
That? I thought it was fine. I liked the thing where they did the shooting of guns.
Oh, okay. Spoilers.
Holy shit. Somebody gets shot. but Eminem is mad, you guys. Marshall Mathers is pissed. He says that Netflix is blowing it. So do you think if they had known that they would have upset Eminem, they would have canceled it? Yeah, they
still
would
have. Oh, yeah, for sure. Come. You don't upset Eminem. I mean, yeah. What can you do for him to get better and make sure he doesn't? Who cares about fucking Eminem having an opinion? Come on. Him or Justin Bieber at this point.
Okay. I hope Eminem doesn't listen to our podcast. I would be really
sorry,
sad if
Eminem,
he didn't
if
like
you
us.
Do. He's French. Yeah. I can't. I mean, geez.
Yeah. If he does, you just have to retweet a rebuttal at Legends Podcast, okay?
Yes. Just let us know. Yeah, let us know. That
sure.
Let us know. Do. Let us know if we're blowing it, too.
Right. Wing, you're fucking blowing it.
You're blowing it. Marvel's Loki series adds the Rick and Morty writer. I don't know why I put this in news. It doesn't sound like news now that I say it out loud.
I like Rick and Morty.
Yeah, we like Rick and Morty. So I guess if we're making a show about the God of Mischief, that makes sense.
Oh, my God. C2E2's in less than a month, and I just found my Rick and Morty lanyard, bitches. Sorry, okay. I'm excited.
Gwyneth Paltrow is officially exiting the Marvel Cinematic
Did
Universe.
They kill
this
her
is
off?
Totally, yeah, this is totally not news because I felt like at multiple points I thought she had exited the Marvel Cinematic
Doesn't
Universe,
she keep
but
just
she
saying that, yeah,
she showed up again in subsequent films.
Aren't they just gonna kill her in this one?
There's a lot of spoiler. Do you want
no,
to?
No, okay, stop
well,
it. Oh, God.
So here's what happens. First, they're going to have the wedding of Tony Stark. And so it's all going to be happy. And then Happy's going to come in. And no, it's going to be sad.
Killer. But then it's going to be a Skrull. And
Skrull.
Captain Marvel's going to save her. And they're going to have to put her in an Iron Man suit and transform her into a cyborg. And she's going to become a Guardian of the Galaxy.
I didn't listen to any of that.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Amazon is slowly teasing out stuff about their Lord of the Rings TV show, which apparently has insane security. Like, you're in, like, a vault to work on it. Wing, have you ever experienced anything like this? Where you have to go,
go past a
retinal scan to get in the room to just work on the show?
Yes, I did. That was fun, though.
All right.
Oh, yeah,
because
Wayne was humming the Mission Impossible theme the whole time. He was walking in and out.
So, The Lord of the Rings, all we have is a map, which suggests that it will
just make the
take
fucking
place
show.
During the second age of the nerds.
and then they're going to just be riding horse nerds.
Yeah. So,
when is this
going to
hit? Do we know?
When they're done. When Game of Thrones is done. Not a minute before.
Probably when Game of Thrones is done, when the prequel series to Game of Thrones has not impressed people and has gotten canceled, and then a year after that, we'll get this.
You think the prequel series is going to be bad?
I think it's going to be bad.
I mean, I loved Battlestar Galactica. a lot.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Did you watch Caprica?
Don't do it. God damn you.
Hey, season two of Caprica rocked.
Like the last episode where they told what they were going to do in the rest of the show in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, info dump.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And I was like, why did you take so fucking long?
I hate you when you fuckers show up to the table with logic and facts.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, you know, I think as much as I love Game of Thrones.
But you could be wrong.
I could be wrong if it was called anything other than the Game of Thrones prequel and was maybe called the Lord of the Rings show. I don't know. Like,
but
something
just,
with slightly lower expectations.
Isn't this doing the same thing, though? Lord of the Rings prequel? They're basically doing what they're doing with the Game of Thrones prequel. You're taking a property that people love and have very strong feelings about one way or another, and they're trying to do something before it.
Yeah, but what you don't take in consideration is that Lord of the Ring was something people really, really loved in 2002. And then they scrapped it up in 2006.
You're right.
Look what the sequels are doing to Star Wars. Everybody's like, oh, the prequels were not that bad. And you're like, seriously? So Lord of the Ring is there. Game of Thrones is at its...
You're right, his zenith or whatever. Oh,
and I want to roll back what I said a minute ago and say that I didn't hate Caprica when I told myself it wasn't a Battlestar Galactica show. I actually really kind of dug it. But it was saddled with that level of expectation, and then it just never got there. So I feel like the Game of Thrones prequel show I'm going to like, but people are going to be like, but where's the thing? And where's this? And what about Bran? And
American Gods comes back as well soon.
Yeah.
Is it?
March 10th.
They lost half of their cast and their director.
No, they lost a bunch of people, but March 10th, and some people have seen the first episode, and they say it picks up pretty much right where the last one left off. And
Where are your gods now?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, so speaking of things that will make you say, where are your god now? Bumblebee, according to Hasbro, officially is the reboot of the Transformer movie series.
So am I the only one who's seen this movie?
I have not yet. How was it?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Okay, it's not a great movie. It's the best Transformer
movie. That's exactly right. Like,
John Cena sucks, but the movie is fun. Yeah. I'm going to use the F word. It's fun.
It makes you want to play with the toys, right?
Yeah. But the movie first of all, the first 5 minutes of this movie is everything you've ever wanted from a Transformer movie.
Because it's Megatron,
Everything. You're on Cybertron.
And
you're seeing exactly what have you ever wanted. So they give you all of this at the start of the movie, and then they give you a decent battery not included clone kind of thing, which is fine, and at the end they leave it that this could be a prequel, this could be something new.
Right,
they have one thread, which is the guy that I ate from Sector 7, or the guy that get peed on, but he's younger, so you could go any different way with
it could be a prequel, or it could just be there's another guy in this universe that looks like him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you rewrite a movie, usually you keep the name of the characters. That's basically what it could be. So they gave themselves the best opportunity to either go one way or the other. I'm happy they're going that way, because if they take the first 5 minutes and they give me 30 minutes of that in the next movie, they're going to make $1 billion again.
Okay.
Easily. The first 5-10 minutes of this, I was 5 years old and I was watching a Transformer movie that I've ever wanted.
I think that's good, and I hope it works for them. I think this is the smart way to do it. Like, don't tell us that you're going to reboot everything and then have this be the expectations of this is the reboot. Give a decent movie and be like, okay, we're going to just go with this and see what happens.
Yeah, it's very fun. When you see it, when you see the last shot, you're going to see that the way they were keeping that open. I actually want a sequel of this one, so.
Good. All right, so our last news story is titled Things That Lobster Was Right About That Beef Will Be Upset About. Samsung has quit making new Blu-ray players. Dick. Is this the beginning of the end for physical discs?
Yeah, they're not going to sell disc anymore. They're going to sell small chip or small keys. The kind of disc that you find into a Nintendo Switch or a Nintendo 3DS costs a little bit more to produce, but that's the price to have a physical media, and it holds more or as much, so you're going to be able to play them straight on your TV or something.
How am I going to be able to watch all these pieces of flip-flops that I get to throw around the house now otherwise?
How do you watch your VHS tapes?
The man's got a point.
I got rid of them.
You fucking bought the DVDs, didn't you?
So I should have just listened to myself and bought it all on fucking digital, because now I wouldn't have this goddamn problem.
Yeah, but you knew that when you started. We always knew when we invest in a format, because we've went, and I think we're all old enough.
It's been a 10 year cycle.
Yeah, and I went from, like, you remember a tape? An actual tape in your car? Now there's not even a slot for a CD in my car.
But what
there's
about
a Bluetooth connection to my phone.
I will say, with no irony, my first Blu-ray player was a Samsung that I bought in 2009. And here we are in 2019.
So you're going to buy another one to let sit on the shelf?
Well, I already have one. I bought an upgraded one.
Right.
It's also a Samsung. But
do you have one in the box, though, for when you want to watch your movies in 10 years?
I mean, I'm going to take it to the Blu-ray repair guy, the same thing I do with my parents' VCR. Like, it's...
I have a PlayStation. That works.
Yeah.
True. That's not a bad idea, because I have a PlayStation 3 and 4, and their consoles are always going to have... Sony's going to make some Blu-rays, or they're going to have discs for a while.
Oh, PS5 is rumored to have no disc slot whatsoever. HDMI, not an HDMI, but just a port, a USB port in front.
Yep.
And they're going to sell keys in a disc case, basically.
Yep.
Ugh.
You're going to pay a premium to have a physical. That's where it's going. You want a physical? Fine. We'll produce one. You'll pay an extra $10 for it. That's what Nintendo's doing. It's been working great for them. If I want to buy a physical, I go to the store. I pay $80 Canadian for a game. If I don't want to, I can pay $70.
The problem is that they don't have for a lot of these games and shit, so now it's going to be the same thing. So it's different if it's all on the cloud, but then you guys talk about rights where they're not actually selling you it. They can just take it back, which I still don't understand.
If you want to listen to the music, download the MP3. If you love the music, buy the vinyl record. Like, I don't know. I think that's where we're headed with movies too.
Damn it.
And you're always going to have the option to buy yourself a DVD or a disc or a key burner and actually write the data on this and then go through your media
collection
stuff
and
yeah, I showed you what I received for my birthday, which is a huge case.
I know, I'm looking at buying my... You got the 500 pack, I got to get the 1,000 box.
It's just a case like in a movie where they put cash in it, but it's rails with DVD pocket. So I've put 95% of my collection in there. I kept the nice thing like the Lord of the Rings box set, the Matrix box set, my James Bond box sets.
Right.
But everything that was in a simple pocket or a movie I didn't work on... Foong! In the things, all in alphabetical order. So if I'm looking for something, it's super easy. It's great. But as you say, soon, in the next 10 years, finding something to play this media, well, I guess the computer market's always going to have some solution for old stuff. Like, you can still buy a floppy disk.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be someone, even if you're going to pay for it, in a niche market for that's going to have it produced. You know what I mean? Like you're saying, the burner for the chip or the thing, because not everybody buys thumb drives for their new computers. Some of them have a DVD reader or burner or Blu-ray reader.
There's a thumb drive on my TV.
Oh, yeah, there's thumb drives
thumb
on everything.
Thumb drive on my soundbar that I can plug on my TV. It's crazy now. Everything is the USB became a good standard for mostly everything. It's big enough so that you don't lose it. And everything has it on it now, so No, we're done with disc beef.
All right,
disc
shut up. Screw you both. All right, we got to flush some toilets
we're
here.
Done with that trailer dump. Okay,
since
so the
when
first...
are we doing trailers for bad games?
Yeah.
Since they're directed by movie directors we kind of like.
Do you want to read it and then Wing and I can rip on it a little bit?
Okay, so I'll rip on it too, but...
Sorry, that sounded rude.
This is the trailer called Conviction, and it's a trailer for the upcoming AAA video game Anthem. But the trailer is a live-action trailer directed by Neil Blomkamp, who I like for doing District 9.
I like him as well.
Go ahead. Say your things.
I've played 10 hours of that game. And if they're trying to sell this on any kind of story or anything that there is in this trailer movie thing, there's nothing of this in there. This is all lies.
Yeah, this was when I read a little further, this is actually like, it's a story that's set in the universe of the game, but even if the trailer were setting something up, it would be setting up like a prequel. Which I'm like, but so this really doesn't have anything to do with the game itself?
Nope.
And
nope.
Then I kind of tuned out.
And it's not that well directed.
No, I mean, it's a trailer.
It's fun to look at. You know what I got from this trailer is that, wow, they really need to sell more of this game. They got him to direct a trailer. And, wow, they could really do a live-action Halo movie now. I've been excited for this game for probably 2 years now. I think I heard about it a year and a half, end or middle of 2017. I think it came out at EA, and the gameplay looked beautiful. Everything looked great. It was fun. It was from who did Mass Effect, and yeah, then everything.
This is the Mass Effect team. So since Mass Effect 3, I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, and
they've been working on this game since 2012.
It's an incomplete game it's incomplete at best. Some of it plays well, some of it doesn't. There is no real larger overarching story. It's like Wing talking about Office Space. I mean, it's cool little bits of stuff that you do here or there. You grind.
Can you get a red stapler? That's really all I care about.
I think you can paint one of your suits fire engine red.
But you get one of the four. The best thing of the video game is that you get one of these four Iron Man suits, and flying around is really cool. And then shooting people is kind of cool for 45 minutes.
Right, but then it's
you
like
do 10 hour of that.
You're grinding. Then you're just grinding to get shit, and you're not getting any. Whatever. So
yeah,
this is one I'll buy in the $30 bin in 2 months.
Right. Okay. So not for me.
No.
Because I'm not a big. Play the latest game. Like, I almost bought a PlayStation. What are we on now? Four.
Yep.
Just so I could play the new Spider-Man game because it looked fun. But that was literally the only reason why I would have done it.
It's got a Blu-ray
Actually,
player in it.
If you ever do that, yes, I think that Spider-Man game would give you fun for probably 9 to 12 months, knowing you.
Yeah.
This game is just like out of this world amazing.
Okay.
But then it would be finding the right game to get your storytelling stuff in. And I think at this point you can get like these Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, yeah. Like I do all my gaming on the PC, so I don't really need that. And I don't even have a nice PC, so it doesn't play.
You're stuck like me.
It doesn't play the fancy games, so it doesn't really matter. I play Simple Planes and the reboot of GoldenEye or whatever that they released for free. That's pretty much it.
I borrow a PlayStation 4 from the studio from time to time just to play a game. That's it.
Let's run down the rest of the trailer. It's not going to take long, I don't think. The next one is Ma, which is weird.
I don't know. The trailer leaves me wanting more, but I'm still not sure what this movie is.
It's kind of a Get Out type thing, but it's also like a weird
it's got some kind of revenge thing, I think.
Yeah
but it's got to Get Out. It's kind of got a Get Out thing. It's some teenagers get some booze and fucked up.
They have Octavia Spencer buys them stuff, and then
she pulled the switch on crazy pretty good.
She did, for sure. It's in the trailer. Long Shot, which is Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen.
I almost didn't watch this trailer. I got
romantic
about
comedy
10 seconds in, and it actually looks pretty kind of dumb funny.
It does looks fun. Yeah,
Yeah, I have the inverse. I started it and I was positive, and then after like 35 seconds, 40 seconds, I was like, oh, this is a dumb comedy.
Yeah, I don't think it's something I want to go see, but I might watch on like...
Yeah, Netflix.
You know, if it's on Netflix, yeah. Speaking of things that are on Netflix, Triple Frontier.
Hang on. Do you remember how you described it the first time?
No. What did I say about this one?
You said, the new movie from Netflix, Triple Frontier, let's just call it the movie that has all of your guy crushes in it.
Yeah, all of your guy crushes, right? Ben Affleck, Charlie Hunnam, Oscar Isaac, right. the snake, the viper from, sorry, the snake from Game of Thrones. It's all good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac is my guy.
So this is them doing the Avengers and ripping off drug dealers.
I'm definitely in for this. And it actually looks like a Netflix movie done well. But they know how to do trailers, though, so who am I kidding?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Catch 22 on Hulu.
There's a reason why George Clooney should not find financing anymore.
Oh.
And why he's going to Hulu. I love the guy. I don't think he's a good director whatsoever. Mm. And this
it looks
just
weird.
Looks like what he does.
Is he like, I want to make it look like Wes Anderson, so I'm going to do that? And
yeah, it seemed like he was in the A Brother, Where Art Thou? And he's like, I can't use that aesthetic in everything.
Right.
And like, no, that was very specific.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm not a big fan of George Clooney, the filmmaker. So now that he's at Hulu, I'm like, well, at least I don't have Hulu.
Right. All right, so this next one, I think you guys are actually going to be excited for. It's called Love, Death, and Robots. I think it's another Netflix thing that you can watch at some point. But it's an 18-episode...
March 15th.
Thank you. It's an 18-episode anthology series, but it looks like the Animatrix, where everything's a different animation style and different things are happening, but it looks super sexy, super violent, and super robot-y.
I'm in.
I have to be totally honest. I'm super interested once I've read what it was about, but the way the trailer was built and all these flashes and music...
Yeah, the trailer was probably not geared towards giving you anything. But,
yeah, and with my concussions problem, I could not watch it. I had to stop. But I was like, okay, wait a second. I've seen a couple of flash of shit that seems interesting, so I went to read what it's about, and I can't wait to see an episode and not a montage.
This was Eon Flux and Animatrix all in one, and I'm all up in there like swimwear.
Yeah, once I saw what it really was, I was like, okay, Beef for one is going to be super excited for this. And yeah, because I know you guys are big Animatrix fans.
Yes.
I actually bought the comics on digital.
Cool.
Oh, before I forget, Beef, have you ever watched One Punch Man on Netflix?
No, not yet.
You should.
Okay.
That's been on my list for a while, too, and I think I need to check it out because...
If you like satire and anime and superheroes, this is the perfect show for you.
Good. Very cool. All right. One more trailer. We've teased it since last time we talked. The trailer for Frozen 2. Oh, absolutely. Beef. What is your knowledge of Frozen consist of?
Nothing, because you told me last time it was like X-Men or something, so I'm supposed to watch it, and I didn't. So I'm bad. I'm a bad person.
So Beef says Frozen is like X-Men Wing. care to elaborate?
Frozen is like X-Men?
Or didn't you tell me they're like mutants?
In a certain way, yes, but it's not like X-Men whatsoever.
It's in the same universe?
No, it's about accepting the difference that you have. I mean, it's a kid movie. It's just a beautifully well-made movie. This one seems... Yeah, that's a Disney trailer. You see nothing. I mean,
yeah,
it's fun.
It's a good trailer, but it's way, way, way better when it's set to the Avengers theme.
Yes.
And you watch the trailer, but it's the Avengers music, and you're like, oh wow, these are the feelings I'm supposed to be having, because it kind of mashes that up
that
a little
fun.
Bit. Yeah. So frozen beef is super popular with the youngsters.
Oh, okay.
It's a movie beef.
Yeah, it probably peaked a year or two ago, but the movie came out in 2013, and I watched it in maybe 2016, and it was still a pretty big deal. And so the sequel has been kind of long in creation, but it promises a wider world, which is kind of interesting. And then there's, you know, one of the characters has a form of superpower, so it is also kind of interesting in that aspect.
I made a mistake of bringing my niece there opening weekend. That unleashed a beast that you would never think would be in that little girl.
Yep. Is she an Anna or an Elsa?
She's an Elsa.
Okay, so there you go.
But it's okay. They've made so long between these sequels. Now she's 10 years old. She's not going to give a fuck anymore, hopefully.
Yeah. You're wrong. Nope. God, you're goof.
Nope. They'll get that back. They'll bring it back. All right, one more under random stuff. This is so cool. So there was a New York Toy Fair Expo about a week ago, and they released all this info for new toys. There's so much cool stuff. I encourage you to check out, just all the toys that got announced. But the one thing that I chose to highlight is from Funko Pop. It is a series of Funko Pop figures. There's currently images for five of them, what they might look like. They're not final yet, but just the designs are so cool, and they're Castlevania.
I must have at least four out of the five. I might as well get the whole set. Mm-hmm. But I also have to buy the Spider-Man Spider-Verse set, too.
Where do you have space for all these pups?
Dude, when I die unexpectedly in like 2 years, I'm going to have so many pops for people to go through. It's going to be great.
Yeah, what are we going to do with this bullshit?
I don't know. The Museum of Beef? I don't know. If you look hard enough in my file cabinets upstairs, I have almost every notepad since the inception of this show.
Okay.
I don't know. I need to throw them away. Wow. They're there.
No, you should keep them for posterity, and they will go in the Legends Podcast Museum.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because that's going to happen soon.
Because, you know, I just got a tweet from our wealthy benefactor, Marshall Mathers. He says that we're not blowing it. We're still cool, and he's going to pay for our museum.
But it could also, Wing, you got to think about it this way. It could be like frequently asked questions about time travel, where one of us does the thing.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but I mean, we only have been doing this for like, you know, 9 years, 8 years, whatever.
At this point, could it be, I can't believe I'm going to say that, but could it be like a tub time machine, and can you make beef goal and make us all rich?
I'm okay, sure, I guess, if you want to quit it to a crappy movie, sure. You love that movie, though. All right.
No, I didn't.
All right, fellas. Next time, Legends Podcast. Alita? Banjo? Alita? Battle Angel.
Wow. Hey. That's a surprise.
Well, I have to go to the movie
now?
Yep.
You got to go, Wing. God. We don't want no Wing next week.
I'll watch it.
All right. Sweet. This has been episode 411 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef Sang. You may see my stapler. It's really bad.
And John D saying, "Yeah, I think I know someone that's gonna want that stapler."
And I am Jono Lobster saying, "It's good to be back."
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.libsyn.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended. And Lobster, all the parts still hit me in the feels.
I can get behind discussing those feels.
Yep. Yep. We will do
so
that.
So I'm gonna put it here.
Whoa.
I'm gonna put Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse.
Okay. Academy Award winner.
Academy Oscar. Award Oscar.
That's what an Oscar is, sorry. Beef.
I didn't know. I'm not
if
smart.
Only that was on the cast.
I am still recording it.
Okay. We'll put that in. Put in the time you said Academy Award and you said Oscar.
Oh, hey, why would they call them differently? What are the Emmys? Are those different?
An Academy Award, the statue is called an Oscar because it represents one of the old guys.
I see now.
But it's an award from the Academy of Motion Picture.
Okay, fine. Stop yelling at me. I'm not as cultured as you fuckers. You know that.
And the Emmys are the...
Wait, what about the Grammys then?
Joke.
No, that's the Golden Globes.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
The Golden Globes.
I'm so confused.
Yeah. Grammy comes from gramophone, which is the record player type device that it looks like.
I can dig that.
Let's drop some knowledge on you.
Right. Fucking knowledge bomb. Okay, so...
So what's an MTV Music Award then?
Was that an astronaut?
The People's Choice Awards.
Yeah, but see, no. Aren't those different?
Yeah.
At least those fucking follow their names.
It's the People's Choice.
Is MTV still open?
It's still open.
Yeah, I don't. They don't show.
They just closed Much Music Air. They were like, well, we don't show Much Music anymore, so ciao. It's like, okay. I'll get my music from YouTube now.
There's a problem because you put in the numbers. Now the numbers are all fucked up.
What? What did I do?
Well, you put in the Get Well Foo.
Oh.
Get Well Foo, Get Power Sun. That's not an actual movie that we released.
I didn't change it up. You and your fucking numbers. Can't you shift them all down one?
I'm gonna do that right now.
Magical thing?
Because it looks like that didn't really carry all the way down, but it's okay. I just need to change some dates. It's all good.
We are the 26th, but we recorded 4/11. I'm so confused.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one that broke all those dates. Oh, I see. You would have put a thing in there.
As the song from Frozen says, Wing, let it go. Just let it go.
Let it go. Goddess.
Oh, my God. The dates.
I'm going to fix the dates.
Okay. No! I don't even know how. Don't even tell me about what sorcery you're going to attempt to do, because that shit blows my mind.
All right, the dates are fixed.
Well, fellas, I definitely appreciate you guys.
I'm glad that we were able to record this podcast.
Yeah, that was a good thing. Now I need to move my desk because it's in the middle of the place. Yeah.